Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our Spotlight on Series. I'm Louisa Charmatian, and today I have the amazing Araxia Carpetian with me, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Hello, everyone, and happy rainy day. I'm your host, Louisa Charmatian, and I'm so excited to have the beautiful Araxia Carpetian here with me.
Hi.
Not only is she a dear friend, a mother, a wife, but she is Fox 11's Good Day LA anchor, and I'm just so honored that you're here.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. We were just talking about the fact that we don't really know one another.
I know. We met briefly,
like a month ago.
We met at the Songs of Solomon carpet.
Yep. Aside from that, our interaction is purely on social media.
I know, and we were just saying how social media really connects people to a way where it's like, I know what you ate today, what you wore yesterday, and all that stuff, right? And it just gives you that mutual friendship.
Yeah, it does. And then you feel as though you've known someone forever.
I know.
It's an interesting, it's just the whole thing is interesting still
to me. It's a different beast.
Yes,
I know.
It is.
And I just want to say we have our live chat up right now, and I also have my Instagram on. So if you guys have any questions for her, I'm going to monitor that. Oh my God, so we made it.
I know. I'm so excited finally after months of trying to get this going.
We've been trying to get this happen, and it's raining today, so I feel like, oh my God, I hope it's not going to be too much traffic and
all of that. I know.
But welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have been so busy these past few months.
I really have. I know. Yeah. It's been a little crazy. I don't know. It's been a big year for me. From the birth of my second daughter to start things off, and then just a lot of events. And just a lot of special things happening. So it's been a blessed year for me, but very busy.
Yeah. And this year, not only you went back to work from giving birth to your second one, but also you were honored in April for Armenian History Month, right?
Yes.
So you did that because I want to first talk about all of your amazing activities, your involvement, and then we'll take it way back, how you kind of got into the industry and all of that. But in April, you were honored, and then recently you welcomed our Prime Minister of Armenia, Nikol Pashinyan. So tell me the whole process. How do you feel being part of this huge movement?
Well, first of all, it's amazing to work in Los Angeles, and that was part of the reason I decided to come back to Los Angeles, because I knew there was such a big Armenian community here, and I knew that if I came here, I could become a part of the community and really give back in many ways and become a part of something bigger than myself. It wasn't just about being on television. So had I gone to, say, New York, which was my other option, I don't think I would have the same impact, perhaps, as I do here in Los Angeles. So that is really fulfilling. So yeah, it was amazing. Right before, I think it was 2 weeks before my daughter was born, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors gave me an award for my work in the community, the Armenian American community. So that was wonderful. You know, I had my 91-year-old grandfather there. It was so sweet. He got all dressed up in a suit and he came, and my husband was there, my mom, my daughter, who was basically tearing the whole place apart. But yeah, it was wonderful. And my sister, I should mention her. She'll get upset.
That is so
cute. It was great. Yeah. And then I had my daughter, and then, you know, there was a time period where I wasn't very active, obviously. Mm-hmm. I took the full 3 months with my first child, Sevan. I only took 6 weeks off work, which is so crazy.
Wow.
Now that I look back, I'm like, what was I thinking?
Wow.
But this time I actually took the full 3 months.
That's what you were given, so 3 months.
Actually, we don't have maternity time off. It has nothing to do with the company or Fox or anything. Mm-hmm. It's a union thing. And the union doesn't have maternity leave in the contracts.
Oh,
so
that's hard.
Oftentimes women go on disability.
Yeah.
But I have so much vacation and sick days, I just don't use any of it. So I basically just used that, and I had more than enough. But
which was
the
so
3 months
good.
Is just kind of what women do, right?
Yeah.
That's the That's just
and you came common. Back full force.
I came back full force.
Yeah, yes. You did. You just jumped right in. And by the way, for our listeners, we have her grandpa's picture up right there.
Yeah.
Also, you're very close to your grandfather. You always talk about him and how he has such a huge impact on your career.
My grandfather and grandmother, she's a little more camera shy. Like, I have to get her on a day where her hair looks good. Otherwise, equally as close to her, I see them often. I was with them last night, you know. That's my life. See, people think there's just a lot going on. There is a lot going on. But once I get home from work, usually, I'm a homebody. I get into sweats, take off the makeup, the mask. And then I'm either just at home with the kids or my grandparents live 10 minutes away. Like, my whole family
so
is
close.
In the close vicinity, yeah.
And you do keep it private, though. So people always assume, oh, she's so big on social media. But we don't know that much about you, right? It's like, it's that...
It's deceiving.
It's that nice, you know, line where it's like, okay, we know what we don't know.
Well, I'm glad you say that because I feel as though, even though I am technically a private person, I feel like it seems as though I'm not. And I feel like it is kind of like feeding the beast with social media. Post this, post that, you know, be here, be there, expose this, expose that. So I'm so happy that you still feel as though I'm private.
No, but then also I'm sure you have some kind of pressure from audience to always deliver, right? Because they want to know what you're always in, what you're doing.
Well,
and
yeah, that. I think that so much has changed in the news business that it's not just, you know, you are a news personality. That's kind of what they call it now, right. News personality versus just a journalist. Because especially a morning show audience, they tune in not just because you're giving them the news of the day and the weather and traffic, because every station does that. They come to you because of how you make them feel. And the fact that, you know, oftentimes people come and say, hey, I love watching you because I feel like you're my friend. You're my imaginary friend. And when you hear that, that is the biggest compliment, and that is exactly what you want to be doing. You want people to feel like they're at home with you. And, you know, you're part of their routine. You're part of their day.
They wake up with you.
Yeah.
Literally.
So, you know, it's part of connecting with you.
And you're very warm and bubbly and welcoming. That's
why. Oh, thank you.
Well, you are.
Thank you.
But, you know, speaking of welcoming, talk about how you welcomed our Prime Minister of Armenia. And how was that? Were you nervous? How was it meeting him?
It was really just so surreal because I was watching his Facebook live stream and he was in Gyumri, my hometown, the night before.
Yeah.
It was Armenia's independence, and then right from there he got on a plane and came to Los Angeles.
Wow.
And the next day was when they had that big event, the rally, and then the welcome ceremony at City Hall. So it was so surreal to be watching him, and then a few hours later to be standing next to him. It was quite an honor, and I was just very, you know, just overwhelmed that I had been asked to do the official welcoming ceremony for him. So the funny thing is, I wasn't nervous, and I told my husband, I said, I feel everything I've done thus far was almost like a leading up to this moment where I wasn't nervous. Public speaking and being on television are two different things. People often assume just because you're on TV, you are a great public speaker, and that is not the case.
Fact. We talked about that a few days ago.
Yes.
Continue.
Completely
two different beasts.
Completely different. And when I first got, you know, into the community, they were asking me to do a bunch of emceeing things, and I hated it deep down inside.
Yeah.
But I told myself, in order to overcome this and get comfortable, I'm just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And so the more you do something naturally, the better you get at it. And so I was saying, I felt as though everything I'd done thus far was the lead up to that moment where I was feeling really comfortable. And it was such a nice feeling to just be up there and speak from the heart.
Yes.
And just, you know, not try to memorize a speech or anything, just speak from the heart.
And you spoke about the American dream and the Armenian dream and how you and your sibling, you came. And I believe she's a dentist right now. Where she
graduated. My cousin's a dentist.
Okay.
My sister is an attorney.
Right.
Yeah.
And how thankful you are and all of that. And that's what I love about you. You keep it so relatable. And you make us feel so good every day.
Thank you.
No, you do. Not only from me, but from our community to your ears.
Thank you.
But I do also want to ask about Thanksgiving. How was that?
Oh,
we just had that.
Oh, well, Thanksgiving Day, I did the telethon.
You did? That's for Armenia Fun.
Yes, for Armenia Fun.
Which we were just challenged.
We were just challenged.
Yes.
We did the challenge. We challenged others, right? I've been doing this for several years now. So I did it again, and
you're natural.
Thank you.
You're
so sweet. Thank you for watching, by the way, and sending me those videos. I'm like, oh, this is what I look and sound like.
Amazing. In red.
I do. You know, I dedicate several hours a day to do that on Thanksgiving Day. It's I rarely take time off work, so it's funny because I tick it off, but then I'm working technically. But it's just like a nice thing to be a part of. And it, again, another surreal moment is as a kid growing up, Thanksgiving, the telethon was something you had on TV, you know, just like you do at home.
That's how I started. I watch it.
Right. That's kind of like tradition, right? And then I remember watching and always wanting to be one of the volunteers. So now I'm, you know, up there. It's wonderful. I get to host it. And again, another moment where you're just like, wow, like life is funny and so blessed.
What's one thing you tell yourself before going on air or just to calm the nerves? And
I don't really have that anymore, thankfully.
Got over that.
Mostly I'm just running around like 100 miles per hour frantically. You know, the morning is just such a different animal because the second you wake up and, from the time you wake up to the time you're on TV, every second counts. And even if someone like stops and talks to me in the hallway, it throws me off my schedule. And so every second counts. You wake up from zero and you go to 60 miles per hour. Like there's no like, let me slowly wake up, enjoy a cup of coffee, roll into work, see what it's going on. There's none of that. This is live television. So you're just like boom, 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 boom. You know, there are times I get up there and sit on the set and I'm just like, okay, I don't even know what is going on with the show. I haven't even gotten a chance to look at a script yet. And that happens a lot.
So it's day of. You have to.
I mean, it's, you know, the news of the day. And I do prepare the night before as far as like if I know a guest is coming on or an interview, just like you, right?
Just
your research, it's like homework. But as far as news, the news is news, whatever's being thrown at you that morning.
And because you've had different positions, you are so good at what you do right now, right? Because you were a producer.
Well,
you did
first,
photography, all of that.
There's Tony. Tony. That's my co-anchor.
That's your work hubby.
That's right. He is so wonderful. I'm so lucky to work with him.
Shout out to Tony.
Tony McEwing, really just, you know, he is so experienced. He's been in the business for so many years. He's been at Fox for over 25 years.
What?
So it's kind of funny. Yeah, he's been there forever.
Wow.
I mean, there's obviously an age difference, but he never makes me feel that way. He makes me feel like an equal, and obviously he's much more seasoned and every day I learn something from him, but we're also very good friends in real life, and it's such a blessing to work with people that you actually like.
What have you learned from him?
One thing. Goodness. Okay.
If you can.
Let me think. Just being on the spot and ad-libbing, because we have to do, you know, like car chases or breaking news, fires, whatever's happening at the moment, you have no information. So the ability to talk about something with no information, I mean, that's
like
hard.
Kind of like improv or just on the spot.
Yes. Wow. So he, now it just kind of comes to you naturally, but definitely through just being next to him, through osmosis, you've gained the ability to do that. And he's just very knowledgeable and just, you know, it's all about keeping it simple. But more importantly, television is about being authentic.
Yes.
And so I think when you first get into this business, you're trying to appear older because you're young. You want to look like people take you seriously, to be credible. And then you end up sounding not like yourself because you're trying to have an anchor voice and it comes across phony. So to be authentic.
That's so true. Sometimes you hear these anger, like, women or men, it's so constructed.
Uh-huh.
And when I hear you have this natural delivery where it's just so smooth like butter.
Oh.
And now that you say it, some people have this curated, like,
yeah.
Well, I can't even do it. But wow.
But it's funny because if you don't do that, it's easy. You would think it's just easier to just sit there and be yourself. But for whatever reason, people find it harder to do that, right?
No, of course.
But you just come, you know, put the mask down and
especially for news, but general for TV, I always say you have to shed everything. You have to be who you are because the camera picks up on everything.
It does.
What you are, what you're not, what you're talking about.
Your expression, your tone, everything.
Yeah. So props to you.
Thank you. You were saying the different jobs. I was, you know, when you first get into this business, basically you pick up and go to like a random place. My place happened to be Idaho Falls, Idaho. And you start with nothing, basically.
Smaller market.
So it's like market size 182. Wow. So people, for not familiar,
Yeah, let's tell
Los Angeles is number two. New York is number one. And then, you know, so think about that. Market 182.
Yeah. Wow.
so it's quite a, you know.
New York is one.
Check. New York is one.
New York is one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the smaller the viewing audience, the population, the town, the higher the number. But when you first get there, you're basically making no money. I was making, I think, $18,000 a year.
Wow.
And I was doing all kinds, you know, I was doing editing my own stories, shooting my own stories, driving myself to the location, anchoring, producing on the weekends, and reporting. Like, all those jobs.
Mm-hmm. And you were there alone.
I mean, what do you mean alone?
No, you didn't have family there.
Oh, right? No, yeah, I was by myself.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wasn't running the station. No, it wasn't
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I was alone, so that's tough, too, because, as you know, being Armenian, we're so close to our family.
Are you kidding me? It's taboo.
I know.
What, you're moving out? Or what, you're moving away for school?
I know.
It's hard, and I think that's something I want to talk about, too, to kind of inform our Armenian girls right now, mm-hmm. whether they're trying to decide on what career path to take and all of that. It's okay if you have a certain passion to pursue, mm-hmm. to do it with grace, to do it in style, keep it still in a family-oriented level. But I think that's how you did it, and it was so nice to see.
Well, I mean, I think it's really important to definitely follow your passion. Yeah. If there's something you're passionate about, you should definitely pursue
Absolutely.
It. And just, you know, not... for me, it was growing up being told, like, be a doctor, and then they threw
of
in
course.
The lawyer.
Lawyer
and
or...
They also threw in a teacher. I remember it was, like, doctor, lawyer, teacher.
One of those three.
Yeah, one of those three.
And a husband. And four kids.
My grandma was so funny. When I first got this job, or started going into this business, she said to me, she's like, basically, you're just, like, gossiping. Like, you're just gossiping. That's what you're doing.
Bombasil.
Yeah, that's what she And I remember laughing because I'm like, okay, I've never looked at it that way. That's an interesting perspective. But until I came back here to Los Angeles and my family was able to turn on the TV and actually see me in action and see what I was doing, all of a sudden they, you know, they got like, all excited
okay.
about it. Yeah. Not to say
serious.
They weren't supportive.
Right.
I was just going outside of the norm and I was far away and they didn't really understand, like, why do this to yourself? And, you know, you're not happy. You're miserable. You want to come home every chance you get. So why are you doing this? Well, you're doing this because you have a goal and you see the light at the end of the tunnel and you have a plan and you just got to stick it out.
How did you handle the pressure from the culture? Or let's say your parents, or whether it's, you know, have a family. And...
I never had pressure about that, actually, with
Good.
My family. Yeah, no.
So it was more like focus on your career,
yeah,
what you
for
want.
For me, it was just, you know, I was just very adamant about doing... When I get something in my mind, it's like, watch out.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing, and also it's a dangerous thing. In fact, I see traits of that in my daughter, my older one.
Sevan.
Oh, yes. She's a force to be reckoned with. And I'm like... Oh, karma, here we go. You know, what is going to happen to me when she gets a little bit older? She's definitely very stubborn and very just hard-headed, but also just very driven. I can see that already, which is, again,
well,
a blessing
like
and a
you,
curse.
The apple doesn't, you know, right. fall far from the tree.
Right, right.
They are right there. That's Sevan.
That's her.
And Sona, your little one.
Yeah. She's Aww. A little sweetheart.
And for our podcast listeners, you guys can see all these beautiful pictures on our YouTube link. We are live right now because it's also a podcast. how many months is
Sona? Sona's a little bit over 7 months and Sevan is 3.5.
Wow.
Time goes so fast. I can't believe she's 7.5 months already. It's crazy.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So she's going to be 1 year old soon.
I know. You know, that's one thing. I'm sorry if like this is a question you can ask
no,
me, but
no, fine.
I just thought of something. Since I've become a mother, the way I look at the news stories is very different.
Wow.
Like, everything just hits me much harder. Just, first of all, any story about a child, you know, in a horrible circumstance, obviously, to the average mm-hmm. person is terrible. But now, I have such a hard time digesting these stories sometimes. And I'm, you know, reading about just awful things happening.
The shootings.
Crazy. Or just even parents, you know.
Doing things to their own children.
Yes. It just hits you at a different level. And your perspective has changed
On
now,
life.
You know. Everything.
Well,
yeah.
When you go home, how do you separate yourself?
I don't really. I wish
you take that home with you.
Yeah, I do. Ooh. I do. I don't really separate myself. And then plus, you know, even though I'm home, this darn phone is like the third arm. Yeah, you know, not only just keeping up with what's going on because it's news, also just the throw in the social media factor. And so it's kind of, I should probably do a better job of taking a time out. I really should.
To balance it.
I should. I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, that's actually one of the questions one of our mutual followers, Edith, asked. She's like, how does she balance her mom life, wife life, and anchor woman life?
I mean, I just, I mean, define balance.
What is balance, right?
What is balance? I do my best. I think I could do a better job of probably shutting the job aspect out of the door when I walk through the door, and I don't do that as much, and I should, but I just like everyone else, just like every parent, I'm not even going to say working mother, every parent, you're just, it's a juggling act, like you're doing everything, right, at the same time.
And the good thing is, you do have help from your family.
I do, right? my mother and my sister-in-law. I'm kind of just trying to raise the kids with family right now.
Before daycare and all of that, or that's not your...
I don't really want to, I mean, my daughter goes to school, but I'm not daycare and not like a nanny or anything. I just want to try to do it with my own family, which is a lot of pressure on them, I know.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful and thankful that they're helping me out, but... I don't know. You know what? That's probably another thing that I am surrounded by these horrible news stories that I always am thinking of horrible things happening.
Trust.
Yeah. Trust is a big one, and I'm just kind of a controlling person, so you don't want to be in my house.
And to think you kind of fell into this industry, right?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I want to talk about that. So you didn't even know you were going to do this. So after college, you decided to pursue journalism, and you just moved to the smaller market. Take me through that process.
Well, in college, I double majored as a broadcast journalism major. But that being
said, Keith got
sort of only because when I ended up in Syracuse, it's like -20 degrees. I'm like, why am I here?
That's a hard school to get into. Good job.
It is, but see, the funny thing is, their communication school is very well known for that.
Yeah.
Like, they have a very good communication school. I didn't know that. I just kind of went. And I majored as an international relations major. And then once I found out they were well known for communications, I double majored. But during the whole time, I wasn't sure if I was into it. You know, what you learn in school and real life, those are two very different things.
Absolutely.
So until I graduated, I still wasn't sure. And then I did internships and it kind of got me into it.
So you did internships here in LA?
Yeah, I came back after graduating college, and I went from no internships to like 4 internships.
Oh, gosh.
It's like all or nothing.
How was your process with Fox? How was your audition process?
No audition. I mean, you have a resume reel, a tape you sent out. I don't know what they do these days. Probably not a tape. Probably like a link.
It's a link now. There's one link to everything. Right. Everything's changing
now. Yeah, everything is different. And so I had the opportunity of going to work for WNYW in New York.
Nice.
Which is the Fox local Fox there. Or to come here. Or to go to Russia to work for ABC Network to be a correspondent out of the bureau in Moscow.
Wow.
Which was very enticing. But... you know,
that's major. Your life right now would have been
very
totally different if you were in Russia doing that.
I know, but my Russian would have been better had I done that.
Do you know some Russian?
Well, I mean, I used to speak it fluently because I grew up in Armenia and I moved here when I was 7 and a half. So,
of course,
English is technically my third language, but I don't really use my Russian.
Yeah.
And so,
but you know, Nubagadze, our cartoon,
of course, Nubagadze.
For our viewers, that's just the famous Russian cartoon that every Armenian household. Old watches.
Well,
my nephew and everyone.
First of all, as a kid growing up in communism, it was like 1 hour a week you got that cartoon.
Zayats!
And it was the most exciting thing. It's funny you know that though.
It plays in her house.
And you grew up here.
I grew up here and I'm very into my Armenian culture,
right.
Our traditions. Well, our family owns the Armenian daycare, so my mom
mentioned this.
My mom has instilled that in me, so I know how to read and write. And
you're a step ahead of me. I forgot all of that.
I don't do it every day, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I went to first grade there, and then you know, so I knew how to read and write at the time. But again, I came here and I grew up in Palos Verdes, which is there's no real Armenian community there at all. So,
so your friends were non-Armenian.
Right, right. Yeah. So,
do you have any like close Armenian friends right now, or you kind of keep it in the family, like your sister?
Yeah,
your mom?
No. I mean, not that I'm against
it. I love that. I love it. No, oh my God, Jeff. Jeff just won.
Very good. That's exactly
our
it.
Producer just pulled up the cartoon guy. Character from Nubagazi, the guile,
the wolf.
The wolf. Did I say the that guile. Right? The guile, you guys. This is so funny.
The guile.
Bilingual interview here. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm sure they can find the cartoon with subtiles somewhere. Mm-hmm. Chess,
also, Tom and Jerry was big. Remember Tom and Jerry was big.
Tom and Jerry was big too.
There was Bui Bui Mugi. Oh. Do you remember that
la,
one?
La, 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 la. Of course. Oh, my gosh. I love it. You're taking me back to my childhood.
What's he Googling? I'm scared.
Oh, my God. Jeff is the best here. He'll find anything. That's shout funny. Out to you. Gosh, Aroxia. I mean, so now I want to talk about you as far as where do you see yourself in a few years? Like, Aroxia Karapetyan, you're an anchor woman. You're so amazing. Community activist. So in a few years, what's your, you know, vision like?
Well, a lot has changed. I mean,
more kids? No.
No. Okay, definitely as far as that's concerned, no more children. No more children. It takes a lot to give one kid attention and to raise them well. And so,
so hard.
It's very difficult. Therefore, I have my hands full with
like,
two.
I know what I'm saying. I don't have kids, no, but I'm just saying. Like,
but it is. It is. It's not a joke. Like, I take being a parent very seriously. It's a serious responsibility. They pick up on everything. They are truly like sponges. Everything you do, even though you think it's a minor thing, it makes a big impact on them, and they're impressionable, and you know, you have this clean slate, and you want to make sure that you raise them well and raise them right. They make you want to be a better version of yourself, and that's what I have to remind myself all the time. Like, she's watching my behavior, how I'm interacting with people. If we're in public and let's say someone takes the parking spot and I'm just like, I have to like
put
take
the finger
a deep
away.
Breath. Well, yeah, because, you know, like, that's not the behavior I want her to ever, you know, observe or repeat. Yeah. So kids make you want to be better versions of yourself for sure. As far as career-wise, honestly, this is such a competitive industry, and I'm so fortunate to be in the number two market in Los Angeles here doing what I'm doing that I just want to maintain what I'm doing. You know, like, that's all. That would be fantastic to have a long career in this. Would be wonderful, and I'm more than satisfied.
Where you are,
but I will tell you that, you know, in order to stay up where you are, you have to work 110%. Not get lazy. Not think like, okay, well, let me just, you know, I'm cool. Like, let me just sit back here and relax. No, because the second you relax is when you start to fail.
Someone else is getting your spot.
And you start to not improve. Like, there's no such thing as you being perfect. And every day is a learning experience. Every day I walk away with something new to work on. I DVR the shows. I go back and I watch things.
Oh, you do? To see yourself. Oh, that's
I mean,
smart.
Before I had kids, I used to watch the entire 3 hours. And I would take notes. I literally would take notes. But now I don't have time, so I just go back and I'll just, you know, if something during the show seemed right or wrong or seemed great, whatever, like, I'll go back and look at it just to see how it was, because you learn through those things.
That's a great tip for any upcoming host or anyone who wants to just get
better,
yourself, right?
Any job, though. I mean, any job, you can do the best at it, right? No matter what you're doing, there's the lazy way to do it.
Absolutely.
And there's the right way to do it.
And it's not overnight. This industry is such a beast where I always say you have to have a few side hustles in the beginning to kind of figure out what you're doing. And then when you land something big, whether it's a network or whatnot, then you can kind of calm down. But you can never really calm down. You always have to be on your toes, always learning, practicing.
I think my approach is you don't calm down. You just push harder and you keep going. And I mean, that's just how I operate.
And if
maybe
Sevan,
it's not good.
No, but it's good though. And if Sevan and
Sona
or Sona were to come up to you and say, "Hey, mom, I want to do what you're doing," what advice would you give them? Would you say leave? No, or would you say
no.
Let's pursue it?
No, I mean, if they want to do something, I definitely want to be supportive of whatever. I mean, depending.
Yeah.
But yeah, for reasonable. Yeah. Reasonable. I want to be supportive of that. Yeah.
And I love how your husband doesn't like the spotlight at all.
Like, he doesn't even want us to talk about him.
So we're not. But I do want to say he took the best pictures of you at our mutual friend's red carpet, Osco's movie.
Right. Song of Solomon.
He was taking the best videos of you.
Hold it like that. If you go through my Instagram, once in a while you'll get a glimpse of him. Okay. I know. Once in a while you'll get a glimpse of him. It's like if I nag enough, he'll let me post one picture of him.
Oh my gosh.
But he really is super supportive. And
wow.
It gives me the ability. Like right now I'm here with you, yeah. Right? Usually I head right home from work. But, you know, he's there with the baby. And then soon my other one will come home. And he's with my sister-in-law, of course. He's not by himself. Oh, there he is. Oh, there's one picture
of him.
Wow,
just one that we found. Thank you for stalking, Jeff. I mean, you went real deep. Like, how many months back is that?
He always wanted a clone of himself, and I swear he got one with Sevan. They look so much alike.
Oh, my gosh.
That's actually a picture we took when we were going to announce that we were going to have our second. We put, like, four pumpkins there.
Oh, that's so cute. And, right. Okay, yeah.
And we took a picture. So that's from that day. That was October of 2018.
Wow.
Yep.
What have you learned about yourself as a mother and a wife over the years?
Well, patience for sure.
Yeah.
I am not a patient person. I'll tell you that.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not. But I think, you know, when you're sharing your life with someone and then when you have children, you just kind of have to be.
Yeah.
You have to compromise and just be patient. And in the best case scenario is when you're with someone, they also make you a better version of you.
Of yourself.
And you go grow together. You know, that's what happens. You either grow together or you grow apart.
In Armenian, there's this phrase, they say zangak bambak. Like,
yes.
One is like the bell and one is like the cotton or something like that. Please do not quote me.
It gets lost in translation.
Over the years.
But it makes me laugh, actually. Sometimes with my crew, I'll tell them, you guys, this is like a popular Armenian saying. And I'm like, it'll get lost in translation if I say it. So I'll tell them something and they just fall on the floor laughing. Like one of them is like, how am I supposed to know that? You know, when you say, or whatever, right? How do you translate that? Like, how am I supposed to know that? Was I supposed to smell my finger? Like, how do you even explain that?
Or when, like, we want to say something like, someone has no common sense, or like, fine, when you're like, kadidzagchini.
Yeah. That's a good one too. But that's like
no nostrils.
They have no hole in their nose, no nostrils, right?
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
the non-Armenian audience is very confused right now. But yes, things get lost in translation.
Oh my God! We have a comment that's from Mary saying how she loves that you're so active in the community.
Oh, thank you. I'm so
Armenian community. Yeah.
Yes. I'm so grateful to the Armenian community from the get-go. They've just been so supportive and embraced me. But that's how we are as Armenians.
We are.
As soon as we find out someone's Armenian, we're like, you're family, and you know, we're going to get behind you. And
yeah.
So it's like so nice.
We look for the YAN and IAN somewhere.
We do. We truly do. It's exciting.
It's like,
I remember as a kid in school when I would read textbooks or an article somewhere and the word Armenia would pop up. I remember I would take a highlighter and just like highlight it or circle it. It gave me this like great sense of gratification to, you know, highlight this is where I'm from. This is my country.
And you're doing such a great job with
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
Plastered us everywhere, which I love.
I try. I mean, that's a balancing act in itself
as
well, because you don't want to overdo it.
But no, you're doing such a great job. And now I have my phone out because I have a few questions. I've had DMs from last night. So Maria Kevorkian says she loves you.
Thank
She's
you,
one
Maria.
Of your followers. Hi,
Thank
Maria.
You.
And also, let's see. Cynthia wants to know, hold up, what was her question? Okay, so who did you look up to growing up? Some kind of figure.
A famous figure?
Yeah, or an influence. An anchor woman, or a news reporter.
I mean, I can try to give you two answers. So
someone that influenced you.
I mean, in my personal life, I would say just, like, my family has played a big role. Like, my grandfather is someone who has an amazing work ethic. To this day, he gets up and goes to work every day.
What does he do?
My family has a store.
Okay.
And so it's like a store deli. And so he goes and he does something there. Yeah.
No, and your uncle too, right? Your uncle, mm-hmm. he passed, but he was a big part.
My great uncle. So my grandfather's brother.
Okay.
George Tumanjian.
Okay.
Actually, you could pull up that. If you can Google that, Jeff, the name.
George Tumanjian.
I actually recently just posted something with him.
The picture.
Yeah, I did. Recently. It was November 11th I posted something because that was the anniversary of his passing. So he, I always talk about him because the reason actually I'm here with you even right now is because of him.
I have goosebumps.
He came to this country, you know, after World War II and everything. He ended up in America, like, you know, New York, Ellis Island, ends up in Montebello, then ends up in Palos Verdes, and that's how we all ended up there. But, you know, he was the... There he is. Okay, so this is us as kids. That's my sister hugging him in the purple. The rest are my cousins. And they're like my brothers and sisters. I don't even feel right calling them cousins. But that Jorababik. His name was Jorababik, mm-hmm. means grandfather. That's obviously Halloween. There he is, younger.
Wow, he's so handsome.
Yeah, yeah. So he ends up in this country, and so they were three brothers. Mm-hmm. So that and see the smaller picture?
Yeah.
That's them younger. The bigger picture, that's the order they're actually standing in.
Incredible.
So that's Rafig is my grandfather, Jora, and then Yasha was the other brother.
Yasha. Okay.
So they're all from Gyumri, and
go lay nagan. Yes. Love it.
So when they were younger, so this is what's interesting. So when they were younger, their father actually had a grocery store, and then when it was communism, you couldn't really own your own business, private business, but their father didn't want to give up the business, and he ends up being exiled to Siberia.
Whoa.
And he tries to escape, and on the third attempt, he's shot and killed. And so my grandfather was the youngest. The two brothers go off to war. He stays behind, drops out of school, works to support him and his mother. Jora ends up at a displaced persons camp, you know, after the war. He never goes back to Armenia because he was, I don't say he was a lieutenant, but he had like a high ranking. And if you were captured and they saw that you had a high ranking, they would consider that treasonous. So his fellow comrades like rip up the patches that show that he had a high ranking, and they save him, but he ends up at a displaced persons camp and then ends up in America. Doesn't have contact with the family for many years because he doesn't want to put them in danger. 30 years later, when he's a successful person after, you know, built like
going through hell,
coming from nothing and building himself up, his mother comes to see him for the very first time in America. So can you imagine? It's like a movie.
So this should be a movie.
She comes to see the success he's built. So he, he was about in his 60s. Most people are retiring. He started, you know, along with some partners, Commerce Casino.
What?
Yeah, so no that's way. My great uncle. And so
he started that with a few of his business mm-hmm, partners, Commerce mm-hmm. Casino. Wow, that's a very public spot for us.
Well, it's
Armenians.
The largest poker. It's the biggest card house, like outside of Vegas.
Aroxia, for poker. That's amazing. That's a big deal.
Yeah. No, it's it is incredible. So he sent us. He like got us here. So Yasha's family, my grandfather's family, all of us were there. So it was 1989, 1990. We started going to war with Azerbaijan.
Yes.
The earthquake happened, which I was there for in 88. And then communism was crumbling. So he basically arranged for us all to leave everything behind in Armenia and get on a plane and come here. So he is he's the reason I'm here. He is the reason I'm here. He gave us the opportunity of a lifetime. And, you know, every day that I drive up the cliffs of Palos Verdes on my way home. Yeah. I just look around and I'm just like, I think of him every day and I'm just like so grateful. He brought us literally to paradise. If you've been to Palos Verdes, you know, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's my home. And so he lived the American dream. He allowed us to have the opportunity to live the American dream. And so anyway,
thank you for sharing that.
He is someone
that I'm sure your followers, maybe one person didn't know that, and now they know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great story. I really hope, like, one day, I don't know if it's a book or a movie or something. It's a beautiful story.
We should pitch that and make it a movie.
Maybe.
Produced by Araxia Carapetian.
On a professional level, though, as far as who I look up to, it was Christiane Amanpour, because I wanted to be an international correspondent once upon a time, like, be in the war zone, be where the action was. Now, if you asked me to do that, I would just laugh in your face. It's like, life has changed, priorities have changed.
Babies.
No, thank you.
Pumping on the way here, stopping something by like to get that.
Yes, juggling all kinds of things.
Oh my gosh, this sounds like so much fun.
Jeff is hilarious. Now he's googling Christiane Amanpour.
Jeff is the best.
He is what a great producer.
Yeah, he really listens and he's just thrilled.
Uh-huh.
Love you, Jeff. But you know, before we wrap, there's a few questions I love to ask at the end. And you know, I ask this
are these fun things?
They're just like, you know, a few questions that I'm curious about, our viewers might be curious about. And you know, it's simple, it gives us an insight of who you are and what you like to do and all that good stuff. Yay. So, okay. What purchase have you made that has been $100 or less that has changed your life?
Oh my gosh. And I'm supposed to think of it at the moment?
If it's too long, we can go to the next one.
Okay, hold on. I'll just try to come up with something.
What has changed your life?
Changed my life?
No, it's a tough one. Yeah.
I mean, I can come up with an answer that doesn't really answer your question, though. If anyone is pregnant or plans to have a baby,
there you go.
I recommend you purchase emu oil.
There you go. What is that? Emu oil.
Emu oil, the bird emu.
It's like
the oil from their feathers.
What?
It's a lotion. And I don't know how true this is, but allegedly it prevents stretch marks. I don't have them. I never had them. I don't know if it's because of that. Technically, it's genetic. My mother had them, though, so I'm thinking maybe it worked.
Wow.
No harm in rubbing that on. That's my answer
for
you.
That's a good tip. Okay, number two.
Change some lives.
I'm going to use that, too. Wow. Oh, my God. Jeff just pulled up the oil.
No, it wasn't this one. It's a blue bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like Ridge.
That's good to know, though.
Blue Ridge. No, those aren't it.
So it's good for a stretch.
It's a dark blue. No, that's not it.
Can you apply it everywhere?
I don't know. I guess. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay.
Cool. Oh, maybe that. What's that? Wait. That one. It looks like that one. Yeah. Okay. That's it.
There you go.
That's it.
So that is amazing.
Don't know, you guys. I'm just saying. Someone told me.
Thunder
I tried
Ridge.
It both times. I guess it worked.
Okay.
You know,
awesome.
I don't know.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so number two, what book has changed your life or any favorite book?
Gosh, I have so many favorite books. All of my favorite writers are Russian authors.
Really?
Tolstoy, Pasternak, Dostoevsky, like
anything
they've written. I took a Russian literature class in college.
Nice.
I did that on purpose because I knew if I didn't take this class and I'm not forced to read them, chances are I'll be like, oh, I'll read that one day, and then you never get to it.
Yeah.
So all of the classic Russian literature... Crime and Punishment, Dr. Zhivago, Anna Karenina, Brothers Karamazov, like all those books. Because there's just everything that's written in these books is what you encounter in life. There's so much wisdom in these writings. They're just such classics. They're classics for a reason.
And I love how you also... promote reading with Sevan too and Sona.
Well, you know, with social media, the kids just are drawn to these tablets all day. So it takes a lot of effort.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two more questions and we are wrapping.
Okay.
So if you had the chance to have your own billboard on Sunset Boulevard, what would it say? Can't be advertisement. It can't be a quote. Just what would Araxia say? Like one sentence.
Oh my God.
You have to answer this. Sorry. From your heart. Each has.
No.
I'm joking. I love you. Come on. I know it's in there. Get in deep. Come on.
I guess focus on you because oftentimes we get caught up in what everyone else is doing on.
Mm.
And the most important thing is to just focus on you and not worry about others.
Beautiful.
Was that okay? I don't know. You really put me on the spot there.
You know what? Spotlight on. It's spotlight on.
Well, this has been
that was
so
fun.
Amazing.
Thank you.
I think you and me can talk forever, but we have to go.
I know. He's like, no, I'm not Googling it. Any other things.
Right? But where can people find you on social media?
So, Aroxy Carpadian, Instagram is probably the best way. That's the most active I am. And then Facebook, my name. Awesome. Twitter, I'm not super active, guys, so.
Awesome. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Luisa Sharamati. And this has been so much fun.
Thank you.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.